but you should be front. You can't lead from the back. Morning, anyway. Morning, chairperson of ICASA. Leaders from the industry, I saw some of them. They are here, Mr. Nolo, MultiChoice, Vodacom, and everyone else who's here. We are going to start, but we are not going to start with ICASA. We are going to start with the post office bill. And thereafter, we'll go to ICASA issue of the presentation of the strategic plan. So if maybe the DOC and the state law advisors can be able to just take us through in terms of the proposed amendments so that we can see where parties agree and not agree. Then we'll go to the ICASA strategy plan thereafter. My apology that we have occupied the front seat earlier, but it's your front seat anyway, after that. Morning, Madam Clarissa. Madam Honorable Killen.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just wanted to make sure, is it your intention that we conclude the post office bill today, formal deliberations, or is it just explanations? And I will then just motivate why I'm asking the question. Thank you.
No, my intention is that we should go formal Friday before it's sent text. We go formal post office, we finalize with it, and then we text and text. But today, to further clarify how does the changes affect the whole bill which has been proposed.
Thank you, Chair. Now, the reason why I've asked that, Chair, is just because I have checked the committee list this morning, you know, the register of committee meetings and the agendas. And it could be that we would have had more parties here if they were aware that we're going to move through it, if it was a formal deliberation. But if it's only on Friday, I just want to suggest that we also give notice formally that we do that on Friday. Thank you.
We'll do that, Honourable Member. I have not seen him, but I'm told that the former CEO for ICASA is also here. You are most welcome. I know I can't tell whether we are sitting or standing. That's the problem. Are you ready, DOC? I told you last year that we'll finish a year with the bill. We're approaching.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. I'll just do a brief introduction. My colleague, Mr. Vukela, will do the presentation. Just with me in terms of the delegation, myself, the acting DDG, Mr. Willie Vukela, acting chief director, and Mr. Afus, director legal, Pindle Chamini, deputy director, and Dimaka Somjela, and the director. So with us also is the state law advisor. They are here to assist us in terms of some of the issues. But what we're presenting here, we are the presentation to address the proposals emanating from the PSC meeting of last week, Friday, in terms of dealing with the issues that were raised around the concurrence issues. And I'll hand over to Mr. Vukelev to do the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Norman. Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks, members, for this opportunity to come again and present what members feel is proper and justified for today's meeting. So our job was quite easier this time, Chairperson, because we were given a thorough marching orders and indication from last week's meeting on what needs to be done. So we did what the committee wanted. As my DDG just said, today's meeting is just to present what the committee proposed in last week's meeting in terms of areas, issues that they felt is quite proper of today's meeting. They further proposed that in clause 12 should be amended to provide matters relevant to appointment of the board, take into account in the last presentation where it indicated the issues of nomination committee. The meeting further gave state law advisors a request to go and amend for further consideration for today, of which I guess that has been done. Thank you. Let me hold for a minute.
Honourable member.
Thank you. I just wanted to understand clearly what Mr. Vukela is saying. Did he say that, that the mandate was clear because that was the instruction from the committee?
The mandate was clear because in the last meeting, the committee raised issues, what they want to see happening, not like before where we gave them to do some researches, but of last week, we're given marching orders, relevant provisions in terms of what needs to be done on areas of concurrence, on areas of trade unions, and areas of the issue that affected the bill that day. So our today's coming here is just to present those issues that have been raised last week meeting. I guess I'm not a politician, Chairperson. My duty is to present what needs to be done.
You see, you are right. You are not a politician. You might be, but you have to present here what you're supposed to do. So just do that. Your preamble is putting us in trouble. Just go to the issue. Honourable member.
Thank you, Chair. The reason why it is putting us in trouble or the department in trouble is because it was recommendations that were tabled by the ANC study group. It was not a committee decision. We deliberately asked for a separate document so that we can see the implications. And therefore, it was not marching orders, as I understood it. It was an ANC position, and we asked for it because there was no written document. We asked for it so that we could see the impact thereof, because not in all respects the proposed amendments would receive the support, certainly not from my party, and I would think maybe also not from other parties. Thank you.
No. You see, the problem is your preamble. Just go to the issues. It was the chair here who requested the OC and the state law advisor to go and put this down and come and present it here today. So just proceed to do that so that the other parties can have the benefit of what the proposals are from the ANC. Just leave the preamble to go to the issues.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. As far as clause 3 is concerned, it talks about coexistence of the post office. Clause 3, sub-clause 5, the memorandum of assent of post office must interlay provide that the post office, A, does not amendment needed, B, shall not have the power to perform the function without the approval of the minister. You can see in brackets bold, granted with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, that has been amended. C, shall not issue any shares except as approved by the minister. And there is amendment made with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance. Clause 8, government support, post office and loans by post office subsidiaries. Clause 8.3, the payment of financial support is subject to the appropriation made by Parliament and must be for such purpose and period and subject to such condition as Minister may determine. There is a board with the concurrence of the Minister of Finance which has been amended. Clause 8.4 sub A, the post office and its subsidiary may not borrow money without the pre-written approval of the minister. Minister of Finance has been amended. Condition of appointment of CEO, CFO, and COO. Clause 18.5, the CEO, CFO, and COO are entitled to a remuneration package determined by the board with the concurrence of the minister. You can see board, minister of finance, that is amended. Clause 22, personnel of the post office. Clause 22.1a, the board must determine the structure of organogram of the post office and condition of service, remuneration, service benefits of the personnel of the post office after consult with the chief of the officer and the concurrence of the minister. There's a note at the bottom there. The wording and the minister of finance was removed at the end of clause 22.1a. The new clause 23, subsidiaries and accountability. Clause 23.3a, the post office must, before it establishes a subsidiary or revive a dormant subsidiary, submit a feasibility study and business plan of the proposed subsidiary to the minister for consideration. B, the minister may submit section 51.1g of the PFMA after consideration of the feasibility study and business plan, approve the establishment of the subsidiary or revival of the dormant subsidiary as the case may be. There's a note at the bottom. The wording and the minister of finance was removed in both paragraphs A and B of clause 23.3. Clause 12, appointment of non-executive members of the board. This clause has been amended to give the minister discretion to appoint the nomination committee. The amendment further introduces the role of the trade unions in the nomination of non-executive members of the board. The amendment further ensures that at least 1.5 times the number of the board members are nominated. Clause 12 continues. Sub 1, for the purpose of appointing the non-executive members of the board, the minister must, A, by notice in at least 2 newspapers and in the Gazette invite such persons, and B, in writing invited unions organized by the post office to submit within the period and in the manner mentioned in the notice the names of persons fit to be appointed as members of the board, with due regard to section 9.5. Clause 12, 2, the minister may appoint a nomination committee to make recommendations to the minister for the appointment of the non-executive members of the board, contemplated in Subsection 1A. Clause 12.3, if a nomination committee is established, the minister must ensure that the committee is broadly representative of the various racial groups and geographic areas of the public and that both males and females are represented. For the minister and, if applicable, the nomination committee in making the recommendation to the minister must consider. Clause 12.5, the minister must ensure that the non-executive members of the board represent a sufficient spread of skills, knowledge, qualifications, and experience and with the process to function efficiently and effectively. Nomination of suitable persons, as compared to Subsection 4, must include at least 1.5 times the number of the board members to be appointed. If a suitable person or the required number of suitable persons are not nominated, as compared to Subsection 1, B, and 4, the minister may call for further nominations in the manner set out in Subsection 1. 7a, the minister must appoint, Roman figure 1, 2 non-existent members of the board from suitable persons nominated by the trade unions, considered in Subsection 1b. I thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, members.
Thank you, Diotri. Those are the proposed amendments which Diotri was going through them. As proposed by the ANC as per the request which they've made in the committee and so on. So, Honorable Killen?
Chairperson, if some of the proposals are of good recommendations, I have to raise concern that the concurrence of the Minister of Finance is taken out. Certainly from the perspective of the Congress of the People, we will not support that because we are concerned that we're creating yet another parastatal where organogram and the escalating costs, salary packages and all of that can run totally out of hand, and ultimately the state will have to bail out, as it has done in the past, all parastatals that find it difficulty. Whereas if we have the concurrence of the Minister of Finance up front, then we could avoid all of that, and therefore we would certainly not support the principle of taking out the role of the Minister of Finance where we establish where we corporatize the post office. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable
Natasha. Chair, yes, I must say I think it's actually quite frightening that the suggestion has been made that the concurrence of the Minister of Finance is removed, and I'm quite sure that the Minister of Finance wouldn't agree with it either, considering when the proverbial does hit the fan, it's him who eventually takes the blame. Chair, I'm also very concerned at the, let me just get to the page, with the nomination procedures, and I don't like the words "if a nomination committee" or "may establish a nomination committee." Chair, I don't think that it should be a question. I think that there should be a nomination committee because it makes things fair, it makes things transparent, and it makes things accountable. So I'm most concerned at the minister's right to choose whether or not there will be a nomination committee. So in terms of that, certainly I cannot agree to the removal of the concurrence of the Minister of Finance, and I certainly cannot agree to the if and may have a nomination committee. I think those are it is a must have a nomination committee.
So as I understand it, the issues around the concurrence and the issue of a nomination committee. I'm sure no one will argue the issue of trade union, because if you read the white paper for 1998, that right was inherently there. So we didn't find it necessary to start to remove it now without reviewing the entire white paper thing. That's why it is. So my reading is that that's not an issue. The issue is the concurrence and the selection committee. African National Congress.
Okay. Thanks very much. Chair, I am tempted to respond from what Honorable Killian has said and the concerns that she has. But at the very same time, Chair, I want to lay her fears about the issue of removing the Minister of Finance. But Chair, if you look at the nature of this bill, it is not about it's not a technical bill, but it is a bill that enables Parliament or the Minister and also the Post Office to exercise whatever issue they want to implement. But for the fact that the Minister of Finance, he is also the member of the cabinet. And I think each minister, when issues are being proposed and dealt with in depth and in detail,
surely the cabinet is on board on these issues. Each minister, they do present to the cabinet. And I want to say to the honorable member, the Minister of Finance is part of the cabinet and is part of this decision. And the cabinet, when they take decisions, also the Minister of Finance, his decision is part of that. So therefore, the fears that she has, I think they are going to be being taken care of, if I may, I may end the chair. Thanks.
Daven.
Chairperson, just in addition to what Honorable Magaze has said, in the case of the nomination committee that the honorable members are concerned about, the May and if part, as the ANC, we made the submission, we looked into the implications of not putting a mast, but we then agreed that we don't want to confine the minister in establishing a nomination committee, that at times we would have to attend to matters of urgency, and it's going to take a lot of time to call for those proposals. We then made it a point that we put it there in the clause that when the minister appoints those people, he must make it a point that geographical spread, racial grouping, and gender matters are incorporated into the team that he will be appointing. Not that we wanted the minister to escape. We wanted to give him an opportunity whereby, if there's a matter of urgency, he can act immediately. Thank you.
Chairperson, I've heard the responses. Unfortunately, I have not been convinced to support. If anything, we must open up and we must have greater accountability and greater transparency. And matters of urgency, we've seen with the SABC board nominations, people can be called in during recess periods to come. There's even not an oversight role for the committee, for Parliament in this process. So certainly, unfortunately, we will not be in a position. We would like to see greater accountability and not extended, unfettered powers for the executive. Thank you.
No. Thanks very much, Honorable Killen. But members, maybe my appeal will be that the general not accepting the removal of concurrence might not be a good thing to do, except when members can go through the clauses. Because you'll see that some other areas where the concurrence has been removed is actually have nothing to do with the finances or anything related to finance. Now what we were doing was that we're making the Minister of Communication to be a subordinate to Finance Minister. That always when something must happen in post office, it must go to the Minister of Finance, which I don't think is desirable. So my appeal will be that the general rejection of removal of the concurrence might not help. But what might help is to go through the clauses where it has been removed so that we understand the gravity of the removal or not removing the concurrence and so on. That is what will be able to take us forward, to move forward and so on. Honorable Killer.
Absolutely, Chairperson. I really want to support you as far as that is concerned. That is why on Friday I actually just asked for the sort of the written document so that we can just see what are the implications. In some respects, it makes good sense to remove the concurrence issue. In some other cases, I can see for about two or three clauses, we would not be comfortable to remove that. So I would I would appreciate it if, since we have only received the document right now, if you will just allow us to go through it so that we can come in with a formal position on Friday.
ANC?
Thanks, Chair. I think, Chair, we are agreeing with the proposal that comes from COPE to go through this document and come back and deliberate on it. So we're agreeing on that position. Thanks.
Democratic Alliance?
So, agreed. We'll await for the response from the opposing parties side on their position. Okay. Any hassle from TOC and SETO advisors about that? Are you comfortable? No, thanks very much, TOC and SETO advisors. We put you under pressure Friday. I understood Monday was a holiday, but you managed to deliver. So that's what we expect from public servants. They must be servants of the people and work and deliver what they're supposed to do. I'm sure you've borrowed the slogan for post office, we deliver whatever it takes. Thanks very much for your delivery and so on. So we'll engage on the matter again Friday. It will be the first item before we take and take it, which will be 9 o'clock. Thank you. That because we've got time until half past 12, or 1 o'clock or half past 12, around there. Look, we strategic plans were tabled in Parliament on the 9th of March. That was the deadline for Parliament after consulting the leader of government business, the Deputy President. Now, last Friday, I must say that ICASA then complied and submitted the strategic plan on the 9th, as it was required by Parliament. Last week, Friday, we received another document. Immediately after that document, we received a letter from DOC trying to explain the other document which we received Friday. Now, I'm sure everyone understands that there are time frames and deadlines by Parliament when to receive documents. Because we are trying to move away from members to be ambushed with information, unable to prepare themselves before they come to the portfolio committee. Now, I will go through the letter, which is from DOC, in relation to the second document. I'm just explaining that so that we all understand that ICASA as an institution does not possess a right to submit a document to the committee. Documents are submitted to the Speaker's office. The Speaker's office refers document to the committee. That's the procedure. We don't receive strategic plan direct from the institution. We only entertain strategic plans after the Speaker's office has formally referred the document to the committee. I will assume maybe that's what has prompted DOC to write over to the chairperson of ICASA and copy to me the letter which has been written to ICASA, which I hope that ICASA is aware of the letter from DOC. Can you read it? I will just skip all the other things, the addresses and so on, and start where the letter says, Dear Dr. Mnube, the subject matter is the tabling of the strategic plan of ICASA. I refer to your letter of 17 March 2011. I tabled the strategic plan of ICASA on the 9th of March 2011 in accordance with the deadlines as specified by Parliament. On the 17th of March 2011, ICASA sent a supplementary strategic plan to be tabled by the Minister in Parliament. As far as I know, I have tabled a strategic plan of ICASA as indicated above. It will be difficult for the Minister to table another document to Parliament. Any further documentation that has been submitted by ICASA is considered to be supplementary. We are not in a position to analyze or have any comment on any further strategic plan submission. I will therefore not accept any additional document for tabling. Yours sincerely, the Minister of Communication and so on. Now we are here. The African National Congress, Ndabe.
Thank you, Chairperson. As you indicated earlier on when you were about to read the letter, that ICASA does not have any right to present a state plan to this committee. That is why, as this government, we allocate political heads, the ministers, and attach the para-state house to the relevant political heads. If then an institution can come here and give us a committee, I don't know what that says about the relations between the minister and that institution. Secondly, that minister that is put there to oversee the work of whatever parastator is one of us as members of parliament. And as the ANC component in this portfolio committee, we don't take it lightly or kindly, the fact that you can just decide when Parliament has given you a deadline that on the 9th you must all submit. You decide to submit whatever you submit, and then on the 17th, I don't know if that's how you operate in ICASA. If you have put a deadline, you then allow people to come up with amendments or alterations in a document that is so formal that has been presented to the Speaker of Parliament. As this committee, our responsibility is to engage only with a document that has been presented to the office of the Speaker, nothing else.
Therefore, Chairperson, honestly, I don't understand why we are here. We are here because we didn't know, but ICASA must go back to the drawing board, go and do what they were supposed to do, explain to the minister how did they leave him out in the process. Then after that, they come to us, led by the DOC. Thank you, sir. Sorry. I also don't understand how DOC accepted the previous threat plan if it had faults, if they are seriously taking their or looking into their responsibility, unless they just take the document as they are and submit to this parliament. And if that's the case, then it means we need to do something with that department. It cannot be that we receive a letter of this note from the minister, whereas he has approved another document, and then he gets another one. Both of you, ICASA and DOC, please, we must, in the near future, take this country very seriously. Take the people of this country, your responsibilities and your duties, and take ourselves as parliament very seriously. We can't be undermined by you. Thank you.
Honorable Micah.
Chair, thank you. Chair, it doesn't happen very often, but I agree 100% with the ANC component on this issue today. Chair, procedurally, we simply cannot go through this document now, so I agree. I actually don't know why this document is even being tabled before us. I do think that it's insulting towards Parliament that procedures aren't followed correctly, and the Honourable Member before me said exactly what I wanted to say about the DOC as well. It is my understanding that the DOC has a responsibility towards this committee to make sure that when documents are tabled, they are correct and ready for this committee to perform its oversight role. And I also am very confused as to why we would have been presented with a document that was flawed. And I think that the minister has every right to be most upset, and I agree with his letter completely, and I think that it is a slap in the face of the minister when things are done procedurally incorrect and not in accordance with the regulations that Parliament has set down.
You see, members, before I go to ICASA, maybe we must separate two things. They submitted a document on the 9th. Then they are coming another document. The standing document, it will seem, is the one on the 9th of March. So if ICASA want to present, and they are going to present that document, is something else. But if they want to present the document which has not gone through DOC normal processes, it's another thing, and so on. So if ICASA, you can be able to explain and separate the two documents, what exactly has happened, because as I've indicated that the procedure which you need to follow.
In the first place, I don't understand why we have two documents that we're talking about here. We're supposed to be talking of only one document. And then if this is what we are given by ICASA and the presentation, and then this is what has not been presented to or submitted to Parliament, then I still say, I don't know why I was seated here with ICASA. Because they can't present another document now, which we have not read. If they wanted to present the document that they submitted to Parliament, they could have circulated to us so that we go through it. Thank you, sir.
ICASA, Chairperson, Dr. Mungu, can you please explain what happened?
Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Chairman of the Portfolio Committee, colleagues who are here from the operators and the media, and other honorable guests that are present here. First and foremost, I just want to apologize for the confusion that arose, but I must want to say unequivocally that the intentions were so good. We wanted to come here and be rosy. And as a result, perhaps, you know, we're overzealous that we, you know, did not follow the procedure to its letter. And what the honorable members have said, you know, your points are highly, highly well taken. And I just want to say in that same vein that the relation that we have with the minister is extremely cordial, but to our colleagues is human. But one needs to be able to swallow his pride or her pride and rectify the mistake that one has done. Perhaps the confusion lied on two elements. One is that we had submitted the strategic plan at a very high level. And then as a second thought, we said, but maybe the honorable members of the committee would also want to see the detailized, you know, version, you know, which was not just to give you the format, you know, at a high level, but we also wanted to break it down to the last, you know, bit. But as I say, to err is human. But as ICASA and as a person who is here at ICASA, we must apologize to the minister, we must apologize to our government, you know, the members of, honorable members of this portfolio committee, and we must apologize to our stakeholders too. I know as a person who was a member of Comtask team, I know that to send two signals on one issue is a fallacious mistake. And as a result, I just want to, we can withdraw the second document and just stick to the document that is at a high level, which was submitted to the minister. If honorable members of portfolio allow me to do so, I will then proceed, you know, to make that statement. If you accept my humble apology.
Honorable Makaza.
Thanks. Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to be general. I'll be general on my comments. But first of all, Chair, I think we accept the apology of ICASA. Like any other organization or any other person who is in leadership, you do those mistakes. And those mistakes, I don't think that, Chair, they are malicious mistakes. As we all know that we have a new CEO, we have a new chairperson, and therefore it takes time, one, to understand how the government procedures or processes
implemented, and also within the organizations, it takes time to acclimatize with the internal processes. So on that note, Chair, I think we will accept that apology. But I can see the intention of ICASA, Chair. We all know that the ICASA, for a long time, it has been under a tremendous pressure. And we also know that at some point, the ICASA, it was criticized heavily by the industry. And from what I sense from the chairperson's the response, what they were trying to do was to actually enrich the strategic ICASA strategic document. And have actually the strategic document actually should communicate, talk to what the president in the SONA have said pertaining to this sector. And I think ICASA Chair, they've been they've attended some of these strategic sessions when other sectors came to present, SOEs came to present. And I think they've listened how this committee, we want the strategic document to look like, because we don't just want a strategic document for the sake of having a strategic plan, but we want a strategic document that it will be a tool, a guiding document, and tell us exactly how are you going to implement the government's mandate and the departmental mandate, specifically in this sector. So I think, Chair, we can really pardon them. It's not a train smash. We all do mistakes, and we learn, you know, through the mistakes. So I take it, it's like a child, you know. Okay, my colleagues, I am there. Thanks, Chair. But this is what I wanted to say. Thank you.
And Davin?
Thank you, Chairperson. As much as I accept the apology from ICASA, but I want them to take note of one thing. Submitting a high-level document to Parliament doesn't mean that you present a different one to us. In your PowerPoint presentation, you can simplify whatever has been there as high level. That's why we are fighting with you, because we are talking about this document. That is not the same document that has been submitted to Parliament. I agree. I see also this first plan. It has work plans and everything. I was like, now they want us to behave like officials. That's not our responsibility. The executive must look into the work plan. Ours is to look into the strategic plan. And what we want to know, you can give us a clue on the annual, but that's not our competence, also your annual performance plans. Now we'll at time say we are interfering with your administration, whereas you are the ones who brought that thing to us here. What is important for us is that we get to understand your strategic objectives versus the key performance indicators and the targets that you set for yourself, so that you are able to monitor and do whatever is expected of us at a strategic level as Parliament, as long as it is aligned to what Honorable Makazi was saying, as long as it talks to the President's honor, as long as it is aligned to the Minister's Performance Agreement, of which I take it that all executives understand that that's how strategic plans must be formulated and developed. Thank you, Chair. For now, they are not going to present. Thank
you. Makazi. Oh. Honorable Member Makazi or Honorable Zebe.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think Chair must give us a caucus, maybe 5 to 10 minutes caucus as parties, so that we agree on some of the issues. We don't speak as individuals. Thank you, Chair.
The ANC requests for a caucus. For how long? Then 5 minutes. Because 5 minutes will expire before everyone clear the room or before you go out of the room.
Can we take 15 minutes,
Chair? Okay. 15 minutes. Any problem with the caucus? Okay, no, it's fine. No, it's fine. You can caucus the ANC. When we adjourned, the ANC wanted the caucus inside to deal with the matter and see how do we move forward around this issue. I'll just hand over to the ANC and Davin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Our appreciation to the other honorable members to allow us to get a break. But Chairperson, when we requested the break, we wanted to come back giving a clear direction or proposal to the members of this committee and those that are affected on how do we move forward, having received the reports from both sides, the letter from the ministry and the explanation by ICASA. We then agreed, Chairperson, that it is important that we ask ICASA to go back to the drawing board, work on the document that they have in terms of the PowerPoint presentation, try to simplify their high-level objectives there so that ourselves as members of Parliament are able to understand what is there. But critical to that is the core of the strategy. As I explained, that all we need is to understand what are your objectives and the key performance indicators so that we are able to do our job. Secondly, Chairperson, they must also go and explain to the minister the intention of them submitting this document to Parliament. We have already accepted the apology, as they explained. So we now propose to this committee that if other members agree with us, we release ICASA to go back on the drawing board, not to divert from anything that they have put in the document that they have submitted to Parliament, but try to simplify whatever is there, but it must not shift away from what has been submitted to Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Michael?
Chair, as I said to you when you very kindly didn't leave me out of a caucus, I'm quite happy to go ahead with the decision of the committee. I always think that it's difficult to go through documents that we haven't read correctly. But I must say this, Chair, I do think that communication plays a big role in issues. And I would like to think that ICASA meant absolutely no mala fide in the presentation of these documents today. And I would agree with their chairperson that it was simply an issue of overzealousness, but that nothing was intended to be insulting or in any way offensive towards this committee. But I do think it would, I agree with what the Honourable Member just said, and I go ahead with the decision of the committee. That's fine.
The difficulty is that when the committee take a decision, is the decision of the committee. But look, maybe we must say in the future, maybe, because this one is water under the bridge, that we'll just request or make a request to all the entities which report under DOC that they must start to familiarize themselves about the processes so that they know when can they submit something to us as a committee, and they know when is the responsibility of DOC to submit to Parliament. So that we avoid, because to us it's not an easy thing to allow an entity to go back. You talk about the financial implication also, and also time, which has been wasted, to fly, to come here, to spend, and the other thing. But on the other hand, you'll see that the committee is trying to say that must not motivate us just to follow certain things which are supposed to be followed properly. So the request is that ICASA, if you can engage with DOC. I'm sure if there was proper engagement, a way should have been found. How do you engage on this matter in terms of also the rule of Parliament? What are the rules of Parliament saying when this thing happens, so that whatever you do it within the rules and the confines of Parliament, so that it becomes easy for us as a committee to be able to engage on these issues and take the matter forward and so on. I would think that that's what the committee is saying, that you must go back, talk to DOC. If you are compelled to have any shift or change on a strategic plan, then there should be communication even to the committee. So that, or even the office of the speaker, so that we advise what is it which you must do in order to be able to do whatever you wanted to do, not just to do it as maybe things have happened now and so on. But we hope like we're all learning. But must also understand that as a committee, we're under time pressure. Time is not on our side to finalize this budget engagements and so on. Some things we need to finish so quickly as we can and so on. But there's nothing much we can do now. The committee has decided in taking that decision. But immediate from here, engage DOC. A normal process must be engaged so that whatever happens the next time when you come back within the prescription and the rules of Parliament. No manga things from the sides and the other things and so on. So I hope that ICASA will take that very well, and a good intention by the committee to play according to the rule and the other things and so on. But we appreciate that you have submitted your initial one in time and the other things, and we hope that when we meet next time, everything will be in order. But for the purpose of this meeting today, this will conclude the business of the day. We don't have any further engagement for today as a committee and so on, until we come up to the date when you must come back so that you can come and make your presentation around the strategic plan. I thank you, Chairperson, the CEO of ICASA, and other councillors who are here, the executive of ICASA, stakeholders, TMG, media, and everyone else. This meeting is adjourned. We are done for today.